Welcome and thank you for choosing. If you are the host, please enter your PIN followed. Thank you. There are two participants in the conference.
All right, sorry about that. I got.
Please announce yourself.
Sorry about that. I got dropped off. Sometimes they don't like this stuff coming out. But let me read this to you. This is law. This is an old Supreme Court case. You still there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay.
We are. I am.
Listen to this. The individual may stand upon his constitutional rights as a citizen. Doesn't make him a citizen. He's acting as a citizen. He is entitled. Think about that word, entitled. How do we get entitled? Under the trust. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, you know it as the Declaration of Independence, is a trust. Here's evidence of it again. The term entitled. He is entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. Period. Full stop. End of sentence. He is entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. Period. His power to contract is unlimited. Period. He owes no duty to the state or to his neighbors to divulge his business or to open his doors to an investigation so far as it may tend to criminate him. So the moment that police officer says, well, let me look in your purse, he said, hell no, go away. Mm-hmm. And if he has reasonable suspicion that she engaged in some crime, he needs to go get a warrant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He owes no such duty to the state. Since he now they were saying it twice, he owes no such duty to the state since he receives nothing therefrom beyond the protections of his life and property. So that's not now telling you that the state is obligated to provide you with the protection of your life and property without any duty or obligation, because that's the whole reason it was created in the first place. It's like you can build a bicycle. You have the right to ride it anytime you want. A bicycle can't tell you, no, you got to pay first. No, I get to go through your purse before I'm going to let you ride me. That's ridiculous. Now listen to the next part.
That's
huh? What was that?
Maybe she logged out too.
Yeah, some people don't want to hear it. His rights are such as existed by the law of the land long antecedent or prior to the organization of the state. What is that telling you? It goes right back again that these are unalienable rights that we are endowed with and that we are endowed with long before we created the state to begin with. Isn't that what that's saying? His rights are such as existed by law of the land. That's God's law, long antecedent or prior to the organization of the state, and can only be taken from him by due process of law and in accordance with the Constitution. Listen to this next part. This will blow you away. Among his rights, remember we heard that before? Among these rights are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Among his rights are a refusal to incriminate himself and the immunity of himself and his property from arrest or seizure, except under a warrant of the law. He owes nothing to the public, so long as he does not trespass upon their rights. Hugely powerful, isn't it?
Now, you got me looking up those codes, and I was scrolling through and came to 286 that said, whoever enters into any agreement, combination, or conspiracy to defraud the United States or any department or agency thereof by obtaining or aiding to obtain the payment or allowance of any false, fictitious, or fraudulent claim shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. So that fits into a lot of what we're seeing these days here as well.
I'm going to have to look that up. 286, you say?
Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you very much. I mean, it's so amazing. You know, I figured out psychologically, what's the first thing that happens to you when you get a driver's license as a kid? First thing that happens, they pull you over to give you a ticket, right?
Mm.
Why? The reason is because that way, once bitten, twice shy. The last place you go looking for solutions is the very place that bit you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is, people have to understand how evil is, you know? And it never ends. A cancer will kill its host. That's why I try to tell people, stop waiting for cancer evil to have mercy on you, and stop waiting for cancer to cure itself. You know, it has no intent of doing that. That's completely against its programming. Its programming, evil's programming, is to destroy life. E-V-I-L is L-I backwards.
Yeah.
We have no choice. We must do it by prayer and by action. What is it? Faith without actions is dead?
Yeah.
So we have to take action. We have to do things. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. And in fact, let me share this with you, because when you go back to the unanimous declaration, let's see if I have the whole thing here. Yeah. Remember I quoted as far as it is the right of the people to alter, abolish, and institute new government, language, foundation on such principles and organize its power in such form as is most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now listen to this next part, blow you away. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. So they're talking about human nature here. People are generally tolerant. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations are undermining, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces or evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, which means control and power, where they tell us, you got to wear a mask, you got to wear a mask, you got to cut your grass. That's despotism. Being thrown in jail because you didn't pay the fines on something that there's no authority for them to fine you in the first place. Listen to this. It is their right, comma, it is their duty, to throw off, not overthrow, but to throw off, having full authority to do, like a raincoat, you throw off, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Now notice the first time they said to alter, abolish it and institute new government. The second time it says to throw it off and provide new guards. It doesn't say anything about creating new government again, does it? Now, do you know why it is the duty of the people to throw this form of government off that's become so corrupted that it's pursuing the same object to reduce them under absolute despotism? Do you know why it's their duty?
Tell me.
It's because it's our creation.
Mm-hmm.
If I create, I'm an inventor. If I create a machine, and this, like a robot, let's say, and this machine starts causing damage to your property, I'm liable for what that machine does.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with government. We created government, we put people into office, and we fail to manage them, and they cause harm to others. Technically speaking, we as the principal are liable for everything we allow our agents to do. You've heard the statement, as the agent does, the principal does. We literally are liable for all of the deaths. We're liable for all of these wars. We're liable for all the killing and maiming that's gone on around the world under our name.
Mm-hmm.
This is so much more serious than people even can imagine. It's bad enough what they're doing to us, but what we have allowed it to do to other people, to other nations. As I said, I could make a case, if I had a good court, I could make a case against everyone who voted for Biden and watched that video or know of any other crimes that he's committed, but that one video where he admits and says, you're not getting the $2 million, the $2 billion, if you don't fire the investigator of that case. That's interfering in the legal procedures of another nation while he's holding an office of public trust. That's an international crime.
Yeah.
Anyone who watched that video and still voted for him, they knew that he was a criminal or should know, knew or should have known that he was a criminal. And they put him in an office of public trust by voting for him. That would be two or more persons conspiring, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They are guilty of treason.
Yeah. Yeah, this stuff is a lot deeper than people realize. And my friends in Barbados, well, maybe one or two people are kind of clued into this, but most of the others are just seeing a very superficial what they hear from the media. And I keep trying to tell them, you know, you cannot listen to the media because they are not. But of course, in Barbados, the Barbadians are quite innocent because the news there reports truth. They report the news. Somebody drives down the road and drives off a cliff. Somebody drove down the road and drove off a cliff. You know, they report it exactly as it is. So when they hear American news, they think, well, that's what it is. And I keep trying to tell them no. So I give up. I thought they'll find out in the end. And so just thinking a whole lot deeper than this, I've been able to talk with two other friends who are a whole lot more open, a whole lot more discerning, who realize you can't accept what you see on the surface, that things are a whole lot more deeper than what we see and what we realize.
If I can make that suggestion again, as we know that when you cast out a demon, you must replace that with the Holy Spirit or something else, lest seven demons worse come than before. So what I suggest always replace, say, here, watch this. Tell me what you think. Here, watch this. Tell me what you think. Here, watch that. Watch this. Watch this. In other words, constantly supply them with alternative news, if you will, which they can go, oh my God. Now, if they're going to believe everything they watch, just change what they watch. And then now they're watching the truth. And then when they come to you and they go, well, I don't understand, this is saying that, but the public news is saying that, say, okay, mainstream media is control. All the channels, all the radios are controlled by five families. Those five families are evil. Okay? They're controlled. So any time that you watch whatever mainstream media is putting out, know that it is a lie. If they're pointing the finger at somebody else and making accusations, then they are doing that very thing. So whatever they accuse, all you have to do is have the filter on. Whatever they're accusing somebody else of doing, three fingers are pointing back. That's what they're doing. Okay? Whatever they're accusing others of doing, that's what they're doing. If they're telling you something's horrible, they've done it. Or they're doing it. Or they're going to do it. Other than that, everything else they say is the opposite. It's a lie. Everything is the opposite. Whatever they tell you. They tell you it's going to rain tomorrow, you know it's going to be a sunshiny day. They tell you that it's a cloudy day, then you know that it's chemtrails. All you have to do is know how to interpret what it is that they're saying. Everything is upside down.
Yeah.
And then you give them the stuff that they... Go ahead.
I don't have contact with one of those. You know, it's amazing that they would not listen. And when I did, at least one person I tried to send, no, two of them, I tried to send information to. One of them said, well, I don't watch these other things. So, you know, when somebody is closed like that, then, well, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to flog a dead horse.
Right. Well, that's
the other one.
Cognitive dissonance, right.
Yeah. The other one responded by sending me what she thought, I guess, was counter what I was showing her, and there was this one video, and I thought that must have been from years ago. She sent a video of the former vice president being very lucid and all that, and then in the same thing showing one of like an edited version of President Trump doing different things that made him look a little bit mentally retarded. And I thought, but you know, there is no getting through. They'll just have to wait and see. So yeah, I don't flog a dead horse. I just thought I'll just leave it up to them to find out for themselves.
Right.
Now there are others who, in terms of the vaccines and all that, are a bit more open to hearing about the truth, and so I would send them, but that's it.
All right, well, let's lift them up in prayer then. Lord, we're lifting up those that were just, you heard our conversations, and thank you, Lord, for the sister listening and being open to you and to the truth, and as she just discovered something else that we didn't know. So thank you for showing that to her so she could share it with us. And Lord, we lift her up for protection, obviously, that there be a protective bubble around her. And at the same time, we open up her friends' minds that they somehow, you, as you did with all of us, that they bump into something that's irrefutable, that something causes them to say, oh, something is wrong here, that they're on the wrong side, that they're believing the lies instead of the truth. So open up to them and let them pray and ask you about it. And as in all things, let you be glorified. In Christ's name it is so.
So shall it be, in agreement.
Hallelujah. It is so then, in Christ's name. You are from Barbados?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. What's it like there? I was raised on a sailboat as a kid, so I have happy memories of it.
Raised where?
I was raised on a sailboat in the Caribbean.
Oh, wow.
So I lived on a sailboat. We went all around, you know, we lived on Beef Island for a while, St. Thomas, St. Croix, St. John, went all the way down to Trinidad and back up. And that was my first knowledge of Venezuela, was a family was in a sailboat and on the ground off of Venezuela. And for 3 days, they were shot at from the shore. So I had really bad taste in my mouth from Venezuela. As a result of that. So I've never liked Venezuela personally. But Barbados, I believe I had good memories of, and most of the other ones. So anyway.
Yeah, Barbados is a good place, but recently, you know, and my friends there feed me some things sometimes. The two friends that are very open and discerning. And I found out through one of them that, well, actually, no, I found this out through watching the Michigan, when Michigan had its, what was it, the electoral fraud thing, and Rudy Giuliani was there, and the different witnesses came forward. One man said, through doing a bit of research and all that, they also discovered Smartmatic with an office in Barbados, and I thought, what? And so, of course, I got on the internet to my friends, and my one friend that I talk with a lot about these things said, yeah, her husband drove past it and saw that it was there. And then another friend said that Soros has some office there under the guise of some kind of funds for developing businesses, something that doesn't sound right. I think they've been infiltrated.
Yep, that's what they do. That's what I mean. They're like a cancer. They, you know, if they find resistance, they go where it's weak. They're just constantly finding wherever people are not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I mean,
and then my friend said that there's been more Chinese. When I was growing up, there were never, I hardly saw any Chinese people, not even tourists. And my friend said there were so many Chinese there these days. And I thought, well, what are they doing? And I don't know if anybody knew. And then another friend sent me something that said the CCP gave Barbados 200 and something million dollars for whatever.
Yep.
And I thought, here we go. Here we go.
Yep.
So,
What they do is they take over and try to buy the ports. First, they give money away with strings attached. The next thing you know, they control the government. They control the ports. And they control the welfare
mm-hmm.
of the country itself, particularly a small place like Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about why on earth do you need any kind of a machine to? I mean, think about this, right? You can sit there with. I thought about this the other day because I'm an inventor, and I came up with one which has three pieces of paper with the same number on all three. That's like when you get a ticket, it has three copies
mm-hmm.
of the ticket and has a unique number on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they do the same thing in voting? It's ridiculous, right? That way you know you got one ballot with three numbers so that you can go one Fed, one copy goes to Fed, one copy goes in your pocket, so you always have a receipt. See, we don't have a receipt for our vote. We don't know how it was counted. And then so far as the mechanical stuff goes, you can have it where you go behind a closed curtain, and there's like 5 or 10 curtains in there. 5 and 10 people come up, 5 people vote. And as they pull a lever or they push a button, it's no different than you can get a dollar store clicker. You know, you click people at a concert, click, 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 and it only goes one way. There's no reason
mm-hmm.
that can't be done, that you put it in there and it goes click, 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 and it can only go one way. And I got it set up so that the number can be traced to the actual number of the ballot that voted. For instance, let's say Trump, 2,664 vote, that the number will click 264, 265, 266. So your ballot was number 264,226. That's the number of the ballot the number of the vote now, which goes back to your ballot, and it prints that number underneath the vote. So now you have a double verification. You have verification that this ballot, now you still keep your privacy, because the only thing that's related to it is the number that's on that ballot. But you can trace back that 2,665,000, whatever it is, directly to the
mm-hmm.
actual ballot that made that vote and double check it. And you still keep your anonymity because it's only the number of the ballot. But you have a copy of that ballot in your back pocket, so you can verify, yeah, that was my vote.
Yeah.
Now, if I could come up with, and I made one of these machines in about an hour, out of pieces of flooring. I just drilled holes in a piece of wood, and you put three pieces of paper and numbered them. You take a pen, which I made out of a coat hanger wire, and you punch it through the three copies. So you got three copies, one in your pocket, one goes to the state, the other one goes to the federal. So they can be double counted. So if the federal one does not match the state one, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is so easy to do. Like I said before, you could have it where, and you don't even need to go to a polling place. You could do it out of a bank. You could do any place that you can show your ID. So you go there, you say, well, I have bank account so-and-so, and I'm requesting a voting ballot, which gives you three copies, same number. You get the little clipboard, and you stick it, and you put it in the machine. The machine reads it, and it brings it up on the screen and says, confirm or not confirm. And if it shows that it's not voting for who you want it to, you say, unconfirmed. And you resubmit it, and it wipes it all out. Now, number 364,222 vote. It's no longer yours. It goes to the next person who voted. And then you put it in the machine
mm-hmm.
again. And when it's counted the way you say, you verify it, it now locks it in. And it prints that number on the ballot. So now you go look at the ballot. You can see what number of vote and where who it was applied to. Now, doesn't that make sense to you? That's so simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could literally have those clickers. You can buy at a dollar store if you want $10 each. The little metal clickers, and you could just hook up a little rocker, lever. You go in behind the booth like they used to, and you push that little lever, and that clicker goes click, and everybody can see it. But they don't know who did it because there's 5 people in there at the same time. They don't know which one of you voted for this one, but everyone can see the clicker clicking one direction only.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is so simple, it's not even funny. Why on earth do you need a calculator to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Come on. You don't need a computer to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, to add 1 to whatever number you have. You just don't need it. So therefore, this is exactly why it's when you understand under 241, if two or more conspire, we clearly have two or more people conspire because they spent a lot of money on the Dominion system.
Yeah.
It's not the hardware, it's the software that they hired. They spent money doing it. Well, who did that? Those are the conspirators, the ones that bought those machines in the first place, because anyone who buys or has a machine that has a computer program for counting ballots is engaged in corruption in the first place, because there's no reason for you to have a computer counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, the fact that you bought them is a conspiracy, because the only reason you would do that is so that you could change the votes.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if these machines were accurate and all that, why would they? I mean, the counting should have ended overnight. If mm-hmm. it's being done by a legitimate machine, there is no reason to have weeks into counting. You know, they have to start counting by hand again and all that. There was no need to stop in the middle of the night and start again. That has, as far as I know, never happened. All of the elections I've been, Barbados elections, British elections, and watching the American elections, you count throughout the night. And by late night, early morning, you have a result.
That's it. And why is anyone handling that ballot? Nobody should be handling that ballot. Why is it that you're handing the ballot to somebody, then somebody feeds the machine later on? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can do it from home. You literally can do it from home with the technology we have today. The system that I set up, you create a physical ballot, you punch the holes, and you could come to a kiosk, you could do it, you know, up to your bank. And because the machine is a simple one. When light goes through, like you have on a garage door opener, when the light goes through, you have the little sensors, you buy them at Radio Shack, you have sensors. When the light goes through where you punched a hole, it goes bip, and that bip is electric, not electronic. So it's basically physical light that is sensed. The sensor hits it. It goes up on the screen, and you say, yes, that is what I intended it to do. You now verify it. So now you have the vote put into the electric. It's now counted a certain way, but it's on pause until you affirm it. If you don't affirm it, within 30 seconds, it erases whatever was put in there. And then you submit it and say, yes, that's what I wanted. Now, you can only get one ballot because you're using identification to get the ballot. And then you have three physical ballots to count it later on to double, triple check. You don't need anything else. It can be done without anybody. It can be all done physically, mechanically, as well as electronically. That way you now have the physical ballot and a scanner. It can go through. It can go blip, and it can see the light goes through. The sensors get hit. It verifies. You don't need somebody standing there to verify it. And you don't need a signature anymore. You know, the mail-in, you don't need mail-in ballots anymore. The only time you need a mail-in ballot if you're voting out of state.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. And you know, ever since I came here, I've been here now for about 23 years. I have not understood the American system of voting. It's just, I mean, the whole primaries and caucuses and all of that.
It's because they have corrupted it, period. It is a way of they're putting people in office that they want in office, pure and simple. That's all there is to it. The only reason to have this type of a system is if you want to corrupt the vote. That's it. There's no other reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other reason. There's not absolutely. There's, you know, it's like saying, if you buy, let me give you an example. Let's say you buy Bisquick. Bisquick has the rise in it. If you buy a cake, a complete cake, and the only thing you have to add is egg and milk, you don't need to add rise. It's already in. So why are you creating a system that requires you to put, it's just the whole, there's only one reason. because you want a way to corrupt the system.
Yeah.
To corrupt the vote. There's no, it's prima facie evidence of corruption. Because there's no other reason that you would do it other than to corrupt the votes and the counting of the votes. There's no other reason.
Now, they've passed this, is it HR 1 or HR 8 or whichever one it is, that pretty much seals the whole election thing in the future. I would like to think that that can be overthrown. You know, I would like to think that things are about to be blown out of the water.
Okay.
And everything return to the legitimate way
right.
that it should be done once these illegitimate people are arrested and all that.
By the way, in case you don't know, any quote-unquote thing that is passed that is without authority is void ab initio, which means void from the beginning.
Okay.
They can pass what they want, but it's unenforced. That's why I'm saying that lady that was arrested for keeping her business open, the whole everything is unlawful because there is no law that they can that would be a lawful law. I can read you court cases all about that. I'll send these documents to you. When you send me an email, it'll blow you away. I don't talk to them, but I have documents to verify every single thing I'm telling you. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
Best unanimous articles. Hale C. Let me see. UCC 3. All right. Let me go look this one up real fast.
While I think of it, I'm going to send you that email to get on the list.
I'm going to read just a few of them to you, remind me. I'll send you all the documents. Just, since you're a reader, I'll send you everything. Just write in there everything you got, Colin. All right, here. Let me read a few to you. Any court that fails due process forfeits any perceived jurisdiction, and any ruling rendered are null and void, without force or effect whatsoever. See Worldwide Volkswagen versus Woodson. And that was 286-291, quote, a judgment rendered in violation of due process is void. And Johnson v. Zerbist, quote, if the Bill of Rights is not complied with, the court no longer has jurisdiction to proceed. The judgment pronounced by a court without jurisdiction is void, end quote. See Brady v. U.S., quote, waivers of constitutional rights must not only be done voluntarily, they must be knowingly intelligent acts done with sufficient awareness of the relevant circumstances and consequences, end quote. See Miller versus U.S., quote, the claim and exercise of a constitutional right cannot be converted into a crime, which is what they did with her. Milo versus U.S., quote, once jurisdiction has been challenged, the court cannot proceed when it clearly appears that the court lacks jurisdiction. The court has no authority to reach merits, but rather should dismiss the case. Joyce versus U.S., quote, there is no discretion to ignoring lack of jurisdiction. See Miranda versus U.S., Arizona, where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. And then Shapiro versus Thompson, quote, the mere chilling of a constitutional right by a penalty on its exercise is patently unconstitutional. Cooper versus Aaron, quote, no state legislature or executive or judicial officer can war against the Constitution without violating his undertaking to support it, end quote. That's what she was talking about. When you war against the United States, you're engaged in treason. Cohen versus Virginia, the government of the state and its officers are constitutionally required, affirmed by oaths taken, to uphold the Constitution and to serve the citizens who are the sovereign, and not to defraud those citizens. There is no valid constitutionally compliant state law, statute, rule, or code that states an American citizen and citizen of the state under duress, threat, and against his will, A, can obtain permission from the state to engage in rights guaranteed in the Constitution. In other words, you don't need permission from the state to engage in activities already secured. Boyd versus U.S., mm-hmm. If it is a law, it will be found in the books. If it is not to be found there, it is not law. Mulberry versus Madison, mm-hmm. All laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Again, the Constitutions do not authorize this fraud, deception, and the illegal and unlawful conversion of rights in for any reason. There exists no constitutional authority for the government to exempt itself and public officers from laws which the private citizen are held. Kent versus Dulles, the right to travel is part of the liberty of which a citizen cannot be deprived without due process of law under the Fifth Amendment. So in other words, you don't need a license, you don't need tags on your car in order for you to exercise your right to travel, only if you're engaged in transporting passengers or property for compensation over the roadways. There is a clear distinction between an individual and a corporation, and the latter being the a creature of the state, has not the constitutional right to refuse to submit its books and papers for an examination at a suit of the state. And an officer of a corporation which is charged with criminal violation of statute cannot plead the criminality of the corporation as a refusal to produce its books. The individual, and then we get into the part I read you before, the individual may stand upon his constitutional rights as a citizen. He is entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. His power to contract is unlimited. He owes no duty to the state or to his neighbors to divulge his business or to open his doors to an investigation so far as it may tend to criminate him. He owes no such duty to the state since he receives nothing therefrom beyond the protection of his life and property. His rights are such as existed by the law of the land long antecedent to the organization of the state and can be only taken from him by due process of law and in accordance with the Constitution. Among his rights are refusal to incriminate himself and the immunity of himself and his property from arrest or seizure, except under a warrant of the law. He owes nothing to the public so long as he does not trespass upon their rights. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. No title of nobility shall be granted to the United States by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. Now those, that one had a lot to do with jurisdiction. But the other one I'm going to read you, if I can find it.
And you see, the thing is, the reason why people get entangled in affairs that they have the rights for is because nobody takes time to read any of these things. People don't know the law because it's written, it's such a long written out thing. I have seen petitions and all that from the courts, and I'm thinking they're so long-winded about something that can be simply stated.
Yeah.
And so the regular person will not take the time to read and to figure out, well, I have a right in this. Instead, they just go along with, oh, well, they say it's the law, and so I can't do anything. Like I prayed earlier. When I was in England, when Princess Diana died, and the royal family said, well, she isn't a royal, so we're not flying the flags at half-mast. And the people were in an uproar. In those days, we didn't have Facebook or social media or anything. But the people rose up with one voice because people loved her. And because the people were so united, all the flags around the country, that even over Buckingham Palace was flown at half-mast.
Right.
Because the people demanded it.
Right.
And when Charles went over to France to bring her body back, he actually draped the royal standard over the coffin.
Right.
Again, you don't do that to non-royals. And so they were appeasing the people because the people demanded it. And so that's how I prayed. If only we knew what we could accomplish with unity, once we know what the rights are, we would be a force to reckon with.
Right. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree. And that's what my cry is. If people institute this legislation, which requires anyone in any public office, it doesn't matter, any position of public trust, to take this test, they will all fail it. You know, the good ones would do fairly well, and that's why it's written specifically that they have 3 weeks into which to retake it, or they can extend it up to 6 months if they take classes to learn it. Well, what I've learned is that evil will not humble themselves to take classes. They won't, because for two reasons. One, they know that the gig is up. So it's no longer fertile ground for corruption. And if they're there to corrupt, then there's no reason for them to stick around and learn and become a servant when they got in there for power.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't even try. So they will remove themselves because they can't pass the test, and they refuse to try again. And so they're out of office. And you don't have to go to a court. You don't have to have a Senate hearing where they end up getting a commission, what they call it, promoted anyway. So God showed me a way to eliminate all of that crap that they control. They don't control the legislature. The people control the legislature. The people control the law. Once it's instituted, they fail the test. Bubba stands there and says, here's your stuff. Give me the cell phone and all the other stuff that's of the state. See you later. Have a nice day. Come back when you think you can pass the test. But I changed the word from testing, continued competency testing. I did one of their things. Oh, we're going to call it something sweet and nice. We're going to call it training. So now they have to complete the training because it sounds so nice. But it's really within the training is tests. If they can't pass the test, they're out of office. Goodbye. Have a nice day. See you later. You see, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As it is right now, you have to go through all the courts. They control the courts now. They control the judges. They even control the way they think because they've been programmed through the BAR Association. Now it's just a matter of policy. It's a matter of law, and it's a matter of policy. Sorry, you can't pass the test. You can't stay in office. And I use the word competency because if you don't know the principles upon which the laws are founded, there's no way you're competent to serve an office that is subject to the laws.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Listen to this. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment. In legal contemplation, it is as inoperative as if it never had been passed. Since an unconstitutional law is void, the general principles follow that it imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protections, and justifies no acts performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional law cannot operate to supersede any existing law. Indeed, insofar as a statute runs counter to the fundamental law of the land, it is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. And that's Bonnet versus Valor. I think that says it so well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
illegitimate unconstitutional practices get their first footing in this way, by silent approaches and silent deviations from legal modes of procedure. This can only be obviated by adhering to the rule that constitutional provisions for the security of persons and property should be liberally construed. The state cannot diminish rights of the people. Statutes that violate the plain and obvious principles of common law rights and common reason are null and void.
Yeah. Two things. We, the people, do not know the law as we should. And they who are in positions of authority who should know the law also don't know it.
That's right.
And for that reason, that's how we are in the position that we are in right now. Partially, not totally.
Well, that's one of the reasons that God's led me to teaching, is because I've done so much homework over the last 20 years that I'm able to find these all of this stuff that's evidence in all these cases, and I'm able to share it in a way that's easier for people to understand. Like, you know, the people want to study it, I can show you all of this law. I can back it up with everything I'm saying if you want to read it and you want to study it for yourself. If you don't, then just remember the common sense thing that I share with people. Can you do it to me? Can I do it to you? If the answer is no, then it is impossible for us to grant power that we are without to our agents. Now, that's simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I know that organizations and law offices, and maybe, I don't know if, like, governors and people like that employ paralegals, but should they have paralegals to be on top of these things for them? Because a lot of times they don't, I mean, even the lawyers themselves don't do a lot of the groundwork. Their paralegals do it for them.
Right. And again, got to understand that all of these people, and paralegals and all, they are all conditioned and brainwashed and trained and taught by the BAR Association accredited colleges. What are they teaching? They're teaching a socialist communist regime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what?
Does that include the ABA, the American Bar Association?
Absolutely. That's the Bar Association I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. And some people call it the British Accredited Registry. I don't care what you call it. All I know is that Congress has determined twice that it's a socialist organization. If you look at what they teach, if you talk to an attorney, you talk to a paralegal, no, they believe the courts have authority. They think the courts have jurisdiction. They don't. The only way that a court gets jurisdiction is by one of the people coming to the court. Think of it this way. You've harmed me. I come to you in honor, and I say, hey, you need to correct it. You failed to correct it. I tried three times. You failed to do it. I now go to my big brother. And my big brother, he's going to ask a few questions to make sure that I have a claim. He's not just going to go over there and beat you up, right? He's not going to go over there and beat you up just because I said so. So he's going to go over there, and he's going to ask you a few questions. Hey, what about this? You're going to go, yeah, I kicked him in the knee, but he punched me in the face first. So then he's kind of coming back to me and says, hey, you misled me. You didn't tell me you punched him in the nose first. And then I make excuses. Mm-hmm. He's going to kick my butt. That's how the law is supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit there and you go, no, I didn't punch him in the nose, you know, I had nothing to do with it. Now you got to go and find evidence, and that's what discovery is about. This is how the law is supposed to work. But he's not just going to go out there. Now, how did he get jurisdiction? He got jurisdiction because I came to him and said, hey, I've been injured. I've been harmed. This person did that to me. They stole my bicycle. And, you know, big brother goes over there and says, hey, do you have my brother's bicycle? And you go, yeah, screw you. And you go punch him in the face, right? And you take his bicycle back. But that's jurisdiction. If he investigates and find out that, no, he doesn't have the bicycle, you sold it to him for $50 and he shows me the receipt, we now have a problem.
Yeah.
That's all the court is. The court has no jurisdiction unless the people can give it. But see, they assume that here come the judge. They assume that the judge, well, that goes back to kings and queens, where the judge had jurisdiction when the moment you walked in there. That's not how it goes. They have to be granted jurisdiction by the people, because remember what we just read. The people are sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
We're sovereign. That's why somebody said it the other day. In the old days in the West, why is it that two guys could go out in the main street right in front of the sheriff and shoot at each other? And the sheriff couldn't do anything about it. As long as they weren't endangering other people. The sheriff would clear the streets, make sure nobody was in danger. But that's because the people were sovereign. They can go shoot each other if they want. It's their right. They can't tell them no. They're both willingly, you know, bringing and bearing arms against each other. Okay, fine. This is how you want to settle it. Now, the whole reason that we came up with courts and judicial system was to try and eliminate that way of handling things. As you remember at the beginning, you know, of this country, you know, two guys would come out there and they either bring, they decide what weapons they were going to use, and sometimes they use guns, sometimes they use swords, sometimes they used both. Sometimes they got the, you know, they'd shoot at each other, they only had a single shot, they both missed each other. Then they bring out the swords. They break each other's swords. Now they're 50 cuffs. This is how matters were settled in the old days, because it was believed that the righteous one, the one who was right, would win.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason, in order to stop the violence and to have a peaceful society, the people came up with a judicial form, and that's why in this country they chose to have what they call a confrontational form of judicial system, which is you have to bring evidence, you have to disprove something, you have to prove something, you have to go back and forth with evidence and witnesses and everything else. Because it was considered that those that would stick in there throughout the whole time period are the righteous ones. But see, we don't have that anymore. You have attorneys that drain your bank account dry, representing you.
Mm-hmm.
Representing you.
Yeah.
See, and you go and look at you find out.
I don't remember what it was I needed help with. And I knew whatever it was, I was right. It wasn't a court case or anything. I just wanted to produce a legal document from a lawyer to verify my position. Whatever it was, it ended up fizzling out anyways. But I called this lawyer, and I talked with him, and he says, oh, yeah, you've got the right. And in order for him to write the letter for me, he was charging me $500.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I could write that letter myself. The only thing, after that I realized, I can just write any document and have it notarized, and it becomes legal.
Right.
Now I know that.
Right. Right. Exactly. And how many people?
But you know, the old way, the biblical way, you go to your to whoever it is that offended you, talk with them.
Yep.
If you have no thing, you go and you bring two or three witnesses, talk to them, and if you still have no resolution, then you take it up to the top person, whoever it would be, a mediator, a judge, or whatever,
right,
and let it be. I like that.
Well, you know, if you look in American law, too, if you go look at it, it even talks about it. It says even the appearance of impropriety, even the appearance of unjustness. In other words, if a court makes a judgment and either one of these does not see that justice was done, they have the right to appeal. That's where the whole concept of appeal comes from. And it says,
yeah,
even if the appearance, even if it, everyone says it's just, but the appearance is unjust, like what they did to General Flynn, what they did to this,
yeah,
lady, this lady who's trying to run her business. It doesn't even have the appearance. So even if they have the law, you know, they can say, oh, yeah, well, we got proper law. If it doesn't appear to be fair, then it's not fair. It's not lawful. It actually says that in our courts. If it doesn't have the appearance of being fair, it's not lawful. It's unenforceable.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people know this? And this is why they wanted to institute what I call the public fool system. You know, we found documents from the early 1900s about, and it was the when they started instituting public fool system. And they found the documents from the ones that were doing it, and that was partly the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers amongst them. And they actually found the document that the reason they were instituting public education system was so they could de-educate the people from the knowledge of the law. Originally it was for to de-educate them from the knowledge of common medicine, common knowledge of common medicine, medical.
Most successful the dentists, that's when they move over to the public school.
Yep. And like she said, when they got so successful, at de-educating the people of natural cures and the natural medicinals and stuff that they were using. They got them relying upon it. They said, hey, this is working real good. Let's de-educate them on this and on that, on the other thing. That's why people that
mm-hmm.
are the people who go to college, the, you know, the longer they're in college, the dumber they are. Literally. Literally.
Literally, I wasn't under the spell.
Yeah. And the thing that's so funny is if they have a degree, they have this piece of paper that says they're smart, they won't listen to anybody else. They think that they know.
Yeah.
And I ask them, well, where did you read? Where did you get that information from? And they can't even tell you where the information comes. Well, I just know. Well, where'd you learn it? Well, I learned it in college. Okay. What professor taught this to you? Okay. And where did he get that information? They can't tell you. They got out of the book. Well, you know the old saying, those that can't do, teach.
Yeah.
The whole structure of the education system is designed to de-educate the people and get them relying upon, you know, that there's a hierarchy that, you know, you only those who went to college know something.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know anything. I mean, look at them. You know, I live in the number one area right now, the highest level of college-educated people. And these dummies will sit there in their car with the windows rolled up with a mask on. How long does it take you to go on the Internet if you're so damn smart? How long does it take you to go on the Internet and look up what do masks do and what do they not do?
They go on the internet, they look at their own circle of influence. They don't look outside. They don't know how to do a non-biased research. They don't try to see what the other side.
But Luella, even if you go like I did, go to the CDC website itself.
They don't go to CDC because they think CNN is CDC.
Right. So they go they don't even go and investigate.
Looking at Google, the people I go to with the other people, they're all doctors and doctors and nurses. Guess what they're sharing on their site? The schedule of who can get vaccinated, the schedule of the group of people that are eligible to get vaccinated. And everybody's thanking them. And everybody's like, oh my God, thank you so much for sharing this. We got to get all vaccinated. I got my first shot. What is yours? That is the whole thing they would only talk about.
They're all going to get the poison. Yeah. Never do their homework. Never even look at the charts. I mean, the charts show you. Look at the total number of deaths. On the CDC website, you can see the total number of deaths are actually down by 250,000.
And if I say something about look at the charts of CDC, they'll be like, oh, you shouldn't talk like that. There are people dying. 200,000 people already died, and I couldn't even get a time in to say that's how many people die from the flu normally every year.
Yep.
And
they can't hear that.
There's no comprehension. They're under a spell.
Yep.
The only thing that'll save them is God.
Yep. You know what? I got a way to get across to people. I go, oh, thank God for COVID. And they all look at you like, what? I go, oh, thank God for COVID. Ever since COVID came along, nobody's dying of influenza. Nobody's dying of pneumonia. No one's dying even of motorcycle accidents. They've all just stopped. Thank God for COVID. It cured all these other diseases. Now the only thing people are dying from is COVID. Everything else is cured. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people that don't even get it. They don't even get it when I tell them that. Normally I said they go, and thank God because there's 250,000 people that are alive this year that normally would be dead, but thank God for COVID because all these other things are now cured. And they still don't get it. I mean, I'm being facetious, but I'm telling the truth. It's absolutely true. You look at the respiratory, zero. You look at pneumonia, zero. Whereas the year before, there were 250,000. 350,000, 450,000 if you total them all together. Well, this year we only have 250,000 from COVID. Wow, that's a net gain of 250,000 people. Thank God for COVID.
Yeah.
And they still don't get it. Nowadays when people tell me, you know, I've had people say, oh, well, I had two friends die from COVID. I'm like, now I got a new question. Where did they die? If they died in a hospital, they were murdered. Mm-hmm. You find me somebody who died of COVID in their homes. Everything else is murder. Because they get paid $15,000 in order for them to kill somebody and call it COVID.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they're so sick.
Yeah, now, you know, a few months back, I wonder if this video is the same. I'm going to look at it when I put down from you. This nurse who had a hidden camera, I guess it was in her button or something, in a hospital, I think it was New York,
right.
And she was recording. The doctor was saying, no, you just label this death as COVID and don't do this and do that.
Yep.
And of course, hers got taken down very quickly.
Right.
And I've been searching for it and could not find it. So I wonder if this is it.
Yeah,
the one that you
see. When you see this interview with the nurse, but see, they kicked him off of YouTube, so he started his own thing under redpill78news.com. That's why I was sharing it with everybody. You need
he's
to go
Rumble.
There. Yeah, he's on Rumble.
Just look up redpill78 and Rumble.
Yep.
And what about, and we know he had a chart of
that's
how many,
true.
Like, six different countries,
yep.
of when they mandated using a mask. It's when all the COVID cases has almost gone to zero. That's like across the board. That is a consistency. This is a repeated theme. Every country, when the COVID cases came near zero, that's when they mandated the mask, and that's when the cases went back up.
And all the other countries where they didn't mandate the mask, it stayed down.
Well, it was only like two countries that did.
No, there was about 15 countries that were the black line.
No, the black line is the one who did.
No, the red ones are the ones that instituted. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's red or black, but there's a number of lines that are flat, and they're the ones that they did not institute masks. The other ones go back up, the ones where they did institute.
Two lines are red, did not institute the mask, and they stay flat, the red ones. The black ones shot up because they mandated the mask.
Whichever one it was, the mandated ones shot up.
The
ones where they did not do masks, did not mandate, they stayed level. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't matter whether it's red or black. All that matters is that the countries where they did not institute, not only countries, but the states and areas where they did not mandate masks, it stayed down. It didn't go back up.
But it was only two countries that did that. All the other countries, like 10 of them, they did this, they mandated masks, and it shot that up. A lot of people got hurt by that. So, there it is.
Well, all the ones that shot up,
the ones that made you
those are the numbers of people that are dying,
yep.
and they're killing more people from it.
Yep.
So, well, you know that the moment that Biden allegedly got in office, you know, was impersonated in the office, that did you notice that the WHO changed? They literally changed the number. The percentage or the way that they do the testing. You know about that, right?
No, I don't think
The way you do it, think about parts, all right, you know, in like if you want to look for a toxin, for instance, let's look at a snake toxin. If you know the type of snake, your body can withstand a certain parts per 1,000, let's say, and then there's parts per million, and then there's parts per billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what they were doing with the test, which were never meant to test for COVID in the first place, but what they were doing is they were doing parts per billion times 7. So in other words, what the test, when you do it to that point, virtually everybody will show that they have, because everyone has some kind of flu or has had some kind of flu. So when you test that parts per billion or parts per trillion times 7, whatever it is, everyone's going to have it. But it's an improper test, okay?
Yeah.
The moment that Biden got into quota and got into office, he never did, but anyway, he impersonated the office, all of a sudden the WHO changed it, said, oh, well, we're going to lower it down to like from 14 down to 7 and then from 7 down to 3, which is where it should have been, and all of a sudden, COVID no longer is super high anymore. Imagine that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying, It's kind of like testing to see if you have red blood cells. Well, everybody's got red blood cells.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. So if you test to that, if you test to that extent, it's going to show everybody has it. And that's what they did on purpose in order to get the numbers. Remember, they needed the numbers.
Yeah.
But the moment that Biden gets in office, guess what happens? The WHO, oh, okay, we're going to change that now. They're trying to make it look like, but see, when I saw that happening, I saw that they had a problem. On the one hand, they want to keep on perpetuating the lie, but when they do that, it brings down the numbers. So now they're conflicting with themselves, aren't they? They're trying to show Biden to be a great savior that, oh, all of a sudden, COVID no longer. What? COVID no longer, is really bad because we want to make Biden look good, but at the same time, that means that they can't keep perpetuating that it's a major pandemic.
Right.
And funny, that's why they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, and that's when Fauci comes along and says, well, even if you get the vaccine, you still have to wear masks. In fact, you need to wear two masks. It's like, what?
I mean, on the radio,
Yeah, so if you get, so the whole thing, and even then, your chances are less than like 75% effective. Wait a minute, if I don't get any vaccines and I don't wear a mask, I have 99.97% chance of survival. But if I get the vaccine, I have a better chance of dying from it, and it's only 75% effective. Doesn't sound like too good to me. That's what these college kids, they can't put anything together. They can't put common sense numbers together. If you give them a chart, you literally give them these charts, they'll sit there and they'll look at it and go, yeah, well, that's just studies. Well, yeah, that's real studies, real numbers, you know, real life numbers. Yeah, well, that's not the science. Yeah, that's called science.
Yeah. I saw this thing. I just pulled it up. It says, train your kids in how to think, how to stick to the facts, how to draw rational conclusions, and how not to make assumptions. These are vital skills in a culture that constantly tells them what to think and never how.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So people aren't thinking for themselves. People aren't researching for themselves.
Yeah.
I heard Sheila Holmes says people are always emailing her, saying, asking her questions that they can very well go and search out for themselves.
Yes.
And it's because they're not taught how to do it, and so they're just wanting to be spoon-fed all the time.
Well, that's why I tell people when it comes to the unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America, I taught an 8-year-old girl in one day to memorize it. And that's when I started okay, how many people out there know the words to how many songs? So don't tell me that your brain cannot function, that you can't memorize a paragraph or two of words. Because a song, the length of the unanimous declaration, the part that I chose, I didn't go, when in the course of human events, you know, becomes necessary. I didn't do that part. The part is we hold these truths to be self-evident, right, that all men are created. That is about the same length as the average song that people know the lyrics to. So they can't tell me that, oh, I can't memorize that because you know the lyrics of a song. I really put it out there to rappers and other people. I said, why don't you put the unanimous declaration to some kind of music, some kind of tune, or some kind of beat, and then people will start memorizing it. You know, simple stuff like that. The people keep thinking they can't do something because they're allergic to it, you know? And I remember, I didn't go read the law. I read everything but the law. I was just saying, I know what that's like. You're like, it's like allergic reaction. But once you break that spell and you start reading it for yourself, all of a sudden that spell gets broken. That's why I say all you got to do is trick people. Trick them and say, do me a favor and look up 18 U.S.C. 241 for me, would you please? Just ask them to do you a favor. Can you read it to me? I don't have a can you just read it to me real fast? You've got to trick them. And the moment mm-hmm. that they read it for themselves, they look it up and find it for themselves, and they read it for themselves, no matter how you get them, you trick them to do it, all of a sudden that spell gets broken. It's the most amazing thing.
Hmm.
So if you want to help your friends, that's what you do. Is you get them to go look it up for themselves by doing you a favor. Hey, I'm not in an area where I can get good. I got phone, but I don't have internet, and I'm writing a paper, and I need you to look up 18 U.S.C. 241. I forgot some section of it. Could you read it to me? Okay, and then you can say, okay, not that. Can you read that? And you get them to read it once or twice over.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, back up. Hold on a minute. What does that section say? I mean, if you want to save their lives and you want to save your country, you want to save this world, we've got to get to be clever. We've got to get smarter than the enemy. We've got to trick them. We've got to get them to read it for themselves and break these spells. They're literally under a spell that says, I'm not going to look it up and I'm not going to read it. But if you trick them into doing it, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's broken. And then you go, hey, while you're at it, would you look at 241, see what that says? Oh, okay, so that one is only 1 year if they're misusing the code. The other one is 10 years. And what was that down thing at the bottom? Didn't it say that, or they could be put to death? And, you know, you can just start asking them questions, kind of like what I, you know, when I repeat it several times and I read it with emphasis, you get them to go back and say, what was that section about? What was it? Or the pursuit? Wait a minute. What is that saying? Is that saying what I think it says? Is that saying that not only do I have the right to the free exercise, but I have the right to enjoy it? And if they do anything to threaten me, intimidate me in my free exercise or my enjoyment of a right, that they can be put in jail for 10 years? Whoa, that's amazing, don't you think? And they go, I call it the bobblehead. Their heads go ding 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 ding. Their heads bobble back and forth because it's so counter to their programming, but it's right there on the piece of paper. They can't deny it. And then I ask them, I said, did you know that was in law? Did you know that was the law? No, I didn't know that. So that's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's why I ask questions when I do my stuff, because it causes people to use the other brain cell.
Yeah. They, I don't know. I think they really think people are stupid. You know, even looking at different things like Lynn Wood and his battles, the Secretary of State of Georgia wrote him a letter. It's a short one. It says, I've been assigned to determine your eligibility to vote in the state of Georgia. Would you please provide an affidavit stating your residency and voter registration status? Would you also please include whether or not you have owned any property, obtained a driver's license or ID card, or registered to vote in any other state?
Well, you know what I would do if I was in that situation? I would write them back and say, oh, I'd very much like to do that except for one thing. I'm an illegal alien, so therefore I don't need to show you anything.
Yeah. Perfect. The thing is that they're sending him, I don't know why he posted this on Telegram and it has his address. I don't know if that's his residence or his office, but I would have blotted out that, because there's some people who get up to no good. But I mean, these people really, I don't know, they're really pushing it, you know?
Oh, I know.
They are pushing, pushing it.
No. Well, that's like, I'd love to give them the address and then say all sorts of terrible things about Antifa. And before Antifa gets to come there with all their stupidity, I have a 30 caliber machine gun sitting there waiting for their dumbasses.
Hmm.
I'd be like, okay, come on, come get me. Because you guys, it's already been determined. Trump already made a determination, which as far as I know, it's not been removed, that they are considered an international terrorist organization. That means shoot them on the spot. People don't understand what it means to be an international terrorist organization. If you carry an Antifa flag, that means you are, I can shoot you, and there's no recompense whatsoever because you're a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I would sit there and call them, hey, yeah, I'd say all sorts of terrible things about Antifa, a bunch of this and that and the other thing, and I just, come on down to my address, come on down. Come on with your spray paint and your stupidity and your baseball bats and your helmets on. I got a 30 caliber here, and I'm going to do some cleaning. I'm going to do some house cleaning, which the federal government's failed to do. They were already determined to be an international terrorist organization. End of story. That's all I need to know. And I'm so ashamed of America. When I was in D.C., the police, the D.C. police were escorting Antifa through D.C. And my first instinct, I was telling them, let's go take a few out. And people were like, no, 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 no. I'm like, what do you mean, no, 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 no? Why are they being protected by the police? That tells you the police are engaged in criminal activities, isn't it? They are protecting. Yep. That's called giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Do you know what that's called? Mm-hmm. Treason.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. I'm just so, you know, we go over to other, I got the last 2 years of non. Fortunately, I never had to kill anyone, but I know a lot of people that did. And I saw stuff and I heard stories of villages and innocent people being killed and blown up for no reason whatsoever. It's okay to send our people over to other countries and kill them. But we're not going to defend ourselves against these criminals in our own country. I mean, come on, guys, there's something seriously wrong with that. They sit there, run around, they blow up towns, they blow up cities, and nobody does anything. I mean, where were the armed people in Seattle and where these other towns where they just lit stuff on fire? You know, where's the outrage against that black cop, a black police officer on his own time? Was standing guard over some outside of somebody's business, and somebody walks up and shoots him in the head.
Because they wanted to steal.
Because they wanted to steal TV or something like that. Where is the outrage on that? And yet, some guy who's a crackhead, on dope, who killed himself, by the way. Hypo, whatever they call it. Yeah, he was on so many. He swallowed all the drugs, so he was going to die anyway. Not because of the knee that was in. And they made him out to be a hero. I mean, come on, if you're going to choose a hero, at least good one.
And the whole family
they
got paid.
Yeah, and the family gets paid, so everybody plays along with it. I mean,
it boggles my mind, really, all of that. But I am hopeful that one day and very, very soon, and I don't like it when they put dates on these things, but they said sometime between now and end of April that we should start seeing a turnaround. So I hope it happens soon because there's a lot of injustice happening. A lot of, you know, this border crisis is horrendous and everything else.
Yeah, let me put it to you this way. If we, the people, institute continued competency training, which needs to put in there no matter what to prevent this from happening again. We need to institute this positive law. Then we can be assured of it turning around. We don't have to wait for some hero to come along.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm so angry about it. It's like, people, we have the solution. We have to institute it anyway. Otherwise, this would just happen again and again and again. We have to stop looking at Trump. We have to stop looking at some hero to come along and save us. It is our creation. It is our job. It is our duty. What does it say? It is their duty to throw it off. Well, how do we throw it off? We institute legislation that requires them to be tested. I mean, name a single job that you can get out there, even if it's sweeping floors, that you don't have to be qualified for.
Yeah.
Name one job. There's not a single job out there that you don't have to fill out an application and to show that you're qualified for the job.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean,
even the most menial of jobs you need a high school diploma for.
Yeah. So how come these people aren't required to pass some sort of training, some sort of testing as to their knowledge and understanding, and they have sworn an oath to support the Constitution, and they don't know one word of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Simple stuff. Hon, I got to get going here. I'll talk to you soon, all right? Blessings.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for the chat. I enjoyed learning some more.
Absolutely. Look, every Thursday night, what state are you on?
I'm in California.
Okay, so it's going to be 6 o'clock on Thursday night. Go to, when you send me the email, I'll send you the phone number. It's on the Illinois call, Strike Force of Prayer, Illinois. And it's at 6 o'clock
okay.
on Thursday night. And this is going to be my fifth or sixth call.
No, Thursday night, 8 EST, right?
Huh?
What is it, East Coast time?
8 o'clock East Coast, 7 o'clock Central, and 6 o'clock Mountain time.
California, 3 hours.
Right, 6 o'clock. Are you...
that's only 2 hours different.
So 8. Okay, well, whatever. Look it up. Whatever.
We're 3 hours behind. So it would be...
5 o'clock? It's 8 o'clock,
yeah, said,
8 o'clock Eastern,
right. Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock Central,
Pacific.
6 o'clock Mountain, which would be what, 5 o'clock Pacific time?
5 Pacific.
All right, it's 5 Pacific. But just put in the email you send me. You got my email, continuedcompetencytraining@gmail.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually sent off already.
All right.
Before I forgot.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Not a problem. I'll send you the number. I usually do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Blessings.
Bye.
Thank you for joining the first one. It was really nice having you on it.
Yes, thank you.
You're
okay.
Blessings.
All right, bye-bye.